The Virtual CMO Podcast is sponsored by the Strategic Marketing Advisory Services of the Five Echelon Group. If you'd like to work directly with the Five Echelon Group and discuss how fractional CMO services can help optimize your business, enhance marketing effectiveness, and grow revenue, visit fiveechelon.com. That's FiveEchelon.com to learn more and schedule a free consultation. Welcome to the Virtual CMO Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Dickman. In this podcast, we have conversations with marketing professionals who share the strategies, tactics, and mindset you can use to improve the effectiveness of your marketing activities and grow your business. Today, I'm excited to have guest Nirosha Methananda on the program. Nirosha is the Vice President of Marketing at Influ2, a person-based marketing platform ushering in the next wave of innovation through buying group marketing for B2B companies. Nirosha, welcome to the program. Glad to have you here today.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate you having me on board and looking forward to our chat.
Yeah, me too. One of the things that I really love to talk about on this program are tools that marketers can use to really improve the trajectory of their marketing activities. So I'm anxious to get into that discussion with you and to understand more about buying group marketing. But to kick things off today, tell me a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, so my background, I've been in marketing for, say, the past 15 years or so. I've come up through various different roles. But most recently, so Influ2, as you mentioned, it's a person-based advertising platform, and I can get into that a little bit. But prior to this, I was the VP of marketing at a company called Bombora.
Sure.
So they're the leading intent data providers. And I was there for about 5.5 years. So building up their brand, building up the category around that. And then prior to that, I was with PwC Australia. So I went there, they had spun out their digital consulting business, and I went there to basically build a publication for them, and then ended up heading up their marketing across their digital and then tech consulting business.
So what was really the attraction to the role at Influ2?
A couple of things. What the primary thing was around making advertising tangible. Mm. So you spend a lot of money on advertising across your display and social, because it's something you have to do as a part of what your marketing mix was. And I am a notorious type word. Yeah. So I don't like, I like spending money on things that are actually, that I can see a tangible return. And that was one of the things that drew me to Influ2, because it makes your display and social media advertising tangible, in the sense it allows you to target who you want to target from a person-based perspective. So cool, you've got your accounts, but not everyone in that account you want to engage. And it gives you insights back to be able to, really help sales to actually make a go and take some action. And I think that's one of the things that I found in my experience that marketing B2B marketers really have struggled with, and I've certainly struggled with. So that was part of why I joined. Also, our CEO, I just love the way he thinks. He's really he has a mathematical background, and that's not necessarily my strength. So I love that, but I also just love the way he was like, I want to build something that's hard to replicate and easy to sell.
Yeah.
I like the way you think. Cool.
That's great. No, that sounds like a good journey to get to where you are today. And advertising can be so complex, right? It seems like there's ads popping up literally everywhere. It's hard to know exactly where the best places are to spend your money to get the best return. But I'm really interested to drill down into this a little bit further. If you had to just sum it up, what is the problem that you're trying to solve for your customers?
For me, it's making your display and social media advertising tangible and actually measurable in terms of ROI. That is the problem that we're solving from that perspective.
So let's flip it around a little bit. And where do you see businesses making mistakes with their marketing? One of the things we try to focus on this program is really helping marketing strategists figure out what is the best strategy to put in place for their companies, whether they're fractional CMOs like myself or they're business leaders within firms. What mistakes do you see over and over again that many people are doing within those strategies?
I don't think it's mistakes, but I think there's opportunity to evolve with in line with what the customer expectations are.
Okay.
So, you know, if you come from, say, a bit, like the example I use is, you know, if, as a B2C consumer, right, if I have, if I want to buy something, so the example I just did this recently, I need an iPad. Mm-hmm. So my iPad cracked in. And so my journey as a B2C, you know, consumer was I went and looked at the comparison sites. I went and built the iPad about 10 times. I looked at all these articles about like what was coming out. You know, it took me about 4 months to buy a new iPad.
Understood.
So I do my research. I don't just buy like that. And the example there is like, then when I come to Influ 2, say, for example, we made a purchase decision around a marketing automation platform around HubSpot. My behavior does not change. Mm. I am still that B2C consumer, and that those habits are still there. It's just in a B2B context, which means I'm not the one, you know, just it's not just me I'm buying HubSpot for. I'm buying it for the team. It's for the business. There are other people involved in that buying group, and being able to actually look at who those people are and understand what their patterns of behavior are, not specifically, you know, being not specifically in the way I am, but certainly from a needs perspective of what my pain points are and what the team needs and so on and so forth, I think that's really important. And that's going to start to become a big differentiator, especially, you know, in this digital world. And from what you expect from a B2C consumer perspective, you know, I think my expectations as a B2C consumer, I think for me, retail sets a very high bar in terms of being able to give you recommendations or reviews, you know, give you all of that information that you need. And those expectations are the same in B2B as well. It's just at a greater scale because there's more buyers in that process. So hopefully that answers the question. I don't think anyone is doing anything wrong. I think we're all trying to move towards achieving, you know, greater granularity and targeting. And that's, I think that's, this is one of the keys to being able to do that.
Well, if I replay a little bit of that sort of in my own language, what I hear you saying is that oftentimes businesses focus on that decision maker, right? They focus on that person within the organization that is going to say yes or no. But in fact, it's rarely a one point of contact, one person that's making that decision. There's all of these influencers that also play a role. And that is what you're defining then as a buying group.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the prime example, when we purchased HubSpot, I asked our HubSpot rep to basically put together a business case for me to use so that I could take that to our CEO and I could give that to finance and basically say, cool, we're going to make this investment. Here are all the things that we're going to get, and this is how we're going to use it. So it's, you know, it's not just me. Like, once I make that decision, great. And once the team, you know, the team's on board, whatever, but I still have legal, finance, you know, sales, et cetera, to who need to implement to consider. So exactly, like you, there are way more people involved in that buying group. And that we're just, you know, we're a startup business. Mm. You know, imagine that times 10 with an enterprise organization.
Okay.
So that's when it starts to become, you know, quite interesting in terms of, okay, mapping out, okay, what are those different departments? How are they working together? And how are you working to be able to, one, target them and get them on board, but two, also use, you know, expand your footprint within those organizations.
So when we look at what's in the marketplace today, you have retargeting kinds of ads that use, you know, cookie or tracking pixels or other technologies to follow you around and retarget ads. And then we've also got this concept of, you know, account-based marketing where you're focusing on marketing to an account, but it's not necessarily specific people within that account. It's just people within that organization, right? So how does this solution fit in between these other technologies or these other ideas within the marketplace?
Yeah. So it takes, it, you know, with account-based marketing or with traditional advertising, like you can look at certain demographic and firmographic factors to be able to segment your audience. So what this does is it takes it to that next level of being able to say, all right, you know, at Microsoft, I'm just going to use this as an example. You know, I want to target the CMO, the VP of marketing, the head of demand, and the head of ABM and so on and so forth. So it actually is looking at those specific people within that organization to be able to target. And then serving them appropriate ad content, and then follow on content through, you know, the landing page or whatever it is. And then being able to understand if they engage with your content or view your content or, you know, engage within some tangible way, and aggregate that action and that engagement activity into the system, essentially, is what it does. Mm-hmm. And then look at that in aggregate and see, okay, cool. They've engaged with a campaign that, you're doing a sale or something like that, or a promotion, and it's a direct promotion. Then you can have your sales team perhaps follow up with it. Some of our customers, it depends on the context of the content as well. So say, for example, we have one of our customers, Docturus. So they're a legal software. They essentially make, redlining and so on and so forth. So one of the things that they did and they used it for was to be able to pull together this article around automated, using AI to redline. And then that piece of content, they targeted, you know, whoever they wanted to target through their existing customers and prospects as well. And that kicked off a conversation with the sales team that wasn't like, hey, do you want to hear more or have a demo or whatever it was? It was more around, hey, what did you think of this piece? You know, did you like, this is what our view is. Do you agree with it or whatever it was? So it starts to turn it into a bit more of a conversation, but you know, there's a difference between, you know, being able to put together the context of a sale or a promotion versus creating a conversation through a piece of thought leadership or whatever it is.
Mm. Now, I can see this being especially useful at larger enterprise accounts where you're trying to influence a bigger bureaucracy, more people in the decision chain. How do you think that this applies also towards smaller business where maybe there's a single owner, but maybe some influencers that are giving recommendations? How do you look at it sort of up and down the size spectrum of businesses?
Yeah, so I will say you do need to have scale for this solution.
Sure.
Was, you know, there's a match rate, right? So if essentially how it works is, you know, you either give us a list of accounts you can use your ideal customer profile to be able to build back and get contacts back, or there's a connection for your list of who you're targeting at those accounts. But, you know, there's like a 40 to 50% match rate. So if you don't have scale, so if you're going after businesses that are, don't necessarily are that large, it's not necessarily going to scale. You do need to look at, you know, those more, again, it depends on what your classification of what a small business is, but, you know, I'd say at least 100 and up to be able to have that scale. So, you know, from that perspective, it is that type of solution.
And that makes a lot of sense. I think there are so many things out there that smaller businesses don't have the luxury of because they just don't have the scale. They don't have the volumes. It's very hard to prove certain things out because you're just not getting enough repetitions of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's for what we look at is, you know, an ideal customer for us is someone who, it doesn't necessarily matter about the size of the business, but it's who your audience is. And if you look, you know, if your audience is, you know, 100 and up, where the solution also is good is where you have like a niche audience that you're trying to reach. So, you know, if I use the same example with Docturus, you know, they wanted to reach a specific title on LinkedIn.
Okay.
But what happened was they put the keyword in like to target that title, and it was they got back like chaplains. So I don't know but they were targeting like, you know, legal, like head of general counsels and so on and so forth. And then in that general targeting, they got back like chaplains of churches, which wasn't who they were targeting. And so that's kind of where it makes a difference. You know, when you know who you're going after, it's a very niche audience, then that that is where it's quite powerful. It's the same for, we have another customer, OneDoor. They're retail planning, digital planning for retailers. And so like they want to work with some of the largest retailers, but obviously like those retail organizations are huge.
Yeah.
So you want to get to the demand and planners at those organizations. And that's why they need to be quite specific about who they're reaching. So that's where it's quite powerful from that perspective.
Hey, it's Eric here, and we'll be right back to the podcast. But first, are you ready to grow, scale, and take your marketing to the next level? If so, the Five Echelon Group's virtual CMO consulting service may be a great fit for you. We can help build a strategic marketing plan for your business and manage its execution step by step. We'll focus on areas like how to attract more leads, how to create compelling messaging that resonates with your ideal customers, how to strategically package and position your products and services, how to increase lead conversion, improve your margins, and scale your business. To find out more about our consulting offerings and schedule a consultation, go to 5echelon.com and click on services. Now back to the podcast. I'm curious, even if you can't share an exact name, but can you sort of contrast what some of these companies were doing before they started working with your platform and after? What was their approach and how did that change once they started using the solution?
Yeah, they were using like the traditional channels that you would think that they would be using from that perspective. With Influ 2, we go through 6 different channels. So Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Yahoo Display, Google Display, and Amazon. And basically, you know, for quite a few of our customers, what they do is they end up, depending on what their need is, like say, for example, the customers I've referred to during our conversation, what they end up doing is that starts to become what they use from a demand driver perspective. And sometimes they use it in concert with their lead scoring. Sometimes they, depending on like what the level of engagement is and what the context of the content is that they're promoting, they use it directly with their sales team to be able to, to reach out and do prioritization and outreach from that perspective. Others use it, as I mentioned, like through their lead scoring as, you know, to be able to help with understanding the weighting and the engagement and or for their marketing nurture. And then that is essentially like will translate through to the sales team. But that's generally how it's been used. I mean, we drink our own champagne. And actually before I came on board, that's all Influ 2 was doing, was only using its own platform to drive its marketing. Some things that we've been experimenting with or we're thinking about is using it. We do use it for events as well. It can be really powerful. So we, for example, we went to the Forrester conference recently. We had one of our ads going as well as, to a specific target. And then I followed up with an email and we engaged with that target at the event. They, came to dinner and she, like, it was kind of lovely to hear her raving about the approach. Cause obviously when your CEO is sitting there, you're kind of like, yep, great.
It's what you want to hear.
Right. Yeah. So that was, that's one way it can be used, to be able to engage through like prior to events, and make sure that you're, meeting the people that you need to meet with and taking that approach. Another way that we're looking at potentially using it is through, PR. And AR and looking at it from that perspective. So I think it's still nascent from a product perspective and a brand perspective in market. And I think these are some of the use cases that need to get tested out.
I'm curious too, because we've certainly seen in the news the big hit that Facebook took due to some of Apple's privacy changes, Snap, same thing. Where do you see the future being in terms of how solutions can work and still fall into these new privacy rules that are sort of restricting really what's been free reign for a lot of marketers for a long time in terms of tracking and using these kinds of tools to be able to follow people through buying cycles?
Yeah. So I think, that's the one thing with Influ 2, because we go through those platforms, they do have, they have permission. That is their data and it's their information. And we just allow an access to it. Mm. I think broadly with privacy, I don't know. I think there needs to be a lot of education that is done around it from both a marketing perspective, because I think it has been abused. As you said, it's being free reign. And it is about being more mindful and more conscious. So I go back to that. Okay, cool. What is it that your customer actually needs? What are they interested in? And don't annoy them.
Yes.
That's a big thing for me. I think from a consumer perspective, there's a lot of education that needs to go with that as well. Because, you know, I think personally, sure, you have my data, right? Mm-hmm. But what I get in return for that data? Right. Is it relevance? Is it, I was just chatting to a couple of peers about this, but one of the things is from a B2B perspective, one of the things I do, or B2C perspective rather, I will go and fill up my cart with, whatever I want to buy. And I kind of know that a retailer is going to, I know they're tracking my cart, so they'll mm-hmm. send me a reminder. If stuff stays in my cart, they'll either send me a discount or, they'll have a sale and eventually everything will be on sale. I think knowing that they know me, knowing that they have that information, I'm like, cool, you can give me as many discounts as you like. And I think from a consumer perspective, we don't necessarily know how that works and there's not enough transparency around that. And I think that's what needs to change. And I think that will become the future because it's, I'm a different generation, but I'm sure, the generations that come after me will very quickly learn what that behavior is and what you need to do from that perspective. And then that'll just become part and parcel of how you interact online from that perspective.
I think that's a great way to frame it. Yeah. Because privacy is really a bunch of data, right? It, if you really get it down to it, it's a bunch of data. And are you getting anything for the data that you're giving up? And I think the more consumers wise up to how they can leverage their own data, I think it's a fair trade-off to give some of your data away in return for something else.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have a friend of mine and he's very much into cars. And he was saying, he was looking for some specific wheel or whatever it was. And he was like, yeah, all I need to do is, either talk about it or, have a chat about it or whatever. And then I start getting ads
yes.
for what I need. And that's like, it's cool. So you start using that technology for your own purposes. And I think that's the part that a lot of people miss
yes.
in terms of when they look at that data. So. Yeah,
that's a great example. I've done the same myself. I find this especially works on Instagram is if you search for something and you've allowed that cross site tracking, immediately you will start seeing other vendors that offer those same services showing up in your Instagram feed.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's the thing, because what will happen is cool. So you're starting to get all of this information. And then from a vendor perspective or whoever the seller is, they have to differentiate
yes.
through that, right? So how are they need to start, it's almost like going back to the basics and it, from a marketing perspective of like, okay, how are you differentiating price, product, going back to those things to be able to actually stand out in the crowd. And that's why, being able to really focus in and target who you really want to speak to is super important, from that perspective, especially B2B, because, it's time and effort and resource, which, especially going into the market that we're going into, we can't ignore it. I think that's going to become increasingly important to businesses from an efficiency perspective.
So what advice would you give a business, whether or not they're going to use a platform like yours, but if they wanted to do more around buying group marketing, what would you say is a good first step? How could they start going down that path?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's really important. I think strategy is such an important foundation.
For sure.
I think sometimes it gets everyone's like, oh, we have to do a strategy. they don't want to put in the work around it. They just yep. want to get going. But I'll quote my previous CMO. Does he say, measure twice, cut once?
right.
That really stuck with me. And I think that's what strategy does. So being really firm around, okay, who are we going after? What's our ideal customer profile? Which accounts are we going after? Especially from if you're like taking an account-based marketing approach, I think, you know, that's just, you know, the peanut butter, you know, that you need to just have. And then understanding who your personas are within, like understanding who the buying group is, who your key stakeholders are, who those personas are, what motivates and drives them. And one of the things that I highlight in that, it's not just like what drives them as, you know, a marketing professional or sales professional. It's like what personally drives them, what drives them in terms of their aspirations or inspirations. Or one thing that I sort of do and have the luxury of being able to do this is, you know, when I meet people, I listen to what, you know, to who they are and whether they have pets, whether they, you know, what their birthdays are, what their preferences are, what they don't like. There's a great opportunity, I think, to accumulate that information and really, really have that like one-to-one kind of, you know, experience. But to have that, you need to have one, your strategy, and two, you need to have the data. You know, that's super important. I think that is where you would start, and you'd need that's where I would start with it from a core perspective. Then systems.
Yeah, well, I certainly love that. You know, I'm an advocate of strategy each and every time we do one of these episodes, because marketing, you know, it's a cost, it's an expense. And if you're doing a bunch of disconnected marketing activities that really don't have a strategy behind them, you can quickly waste a lot of money. No place more easily than advertising, right? Advertising can drain your bank balance pretty quickly. And if you're not doing the right things or being able to track the conversions, you could be wasting a lot of money. So I think that's great advice. As we kind of bring things to a close here, if a company wanted to engage with Influ2, learn more about the solution, what is the best next step? Is it a demo? What do you like to guide people down to learn more about the solution?
Yeah, I mean, please feel free to reach out and contact us. You know, we have a demo. There's please go to our website. We've recently migrated it, so I would love to and updated it. That's been one of my projects. So I would love to have any feedback on it, and you can definitely reach out. I mean, I'm on LinkedIn as well, so you can feel free to reach out to me. I'm always happy to have the conversations. You know, I'm pretty transparent around what will work and what won't work, because I'm a marketer. Like I come from that perspective. So I'm a little bit, I have probably my sales team don't like that approach, but I'll always like, it's be good to hear what people's situations are and then be able to advise them what the best thing is.
That's perfect. So tell us how they can find you online as well as the company online.
Okay. So it's Influ2, INFLU, they were number 2.com. That's how you can find it. And then I'm Nirosha Mithananda. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty sure no one else has my name in the world, so it's a pretty unique one. Please feel free to reach out to us.
Perfect. That's great. The name flows off your tongue so much better than it flowed off of mine.
Well, I've had you know, 40 odd years of having to say that one.
No, that's great. I really appreciate your time today. I've really enjoyed our conversation. It's a fascinating solution. I love the idea behind buying group marketing. I think it's great, and very interested to learn more about your solution as well. So thank you so much for taking the time, and I'll make sure that we have all those links that you mentioned in the show notes so that people can find it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Eric. I appreciate having the conversation with you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Virtual CMO Podcast. For more episodes, go to 5echelon.com/podcast to subscribe through your podcast player of choice. And if you'd like to develop consistent lead flow and a highly effective marketing strategy, visit 5echelon.com to learn more about our Virtual CMO consulting services.